Good afternoon. Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change and how today's choices affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities, and it's provided in collaboration with KCBX. It's also made possible by Joan Geller Sargent. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. The most recent Vital Signs report shows that seniors over the age of 60 are the fastest growing group in the county, making up 25% of the population in 2015, up from 21% in just 2010. The CDC reports that increased life expectancy brought on by the success of public health interventions of the past century will bring new challenges for community programs who need to respond to an increased need created by this achievement, including the growing burden of chronic illnesses in the U.S., a higher number of disabilities, and increased issues surrounding concerns in caregiving and rising medical costs. As our aging population continues to increase, we'll talk about how you and your family can be part of the solution to bridge the gaps in safety net services for seniors and help support their aging in place. My guest today for our discussion is Tracy Mello, administrator for Wilshire Community Services and a licensed marriage and family therapist. Also joining us is Kelly Donahue, public relations for Wilshire Health and Community Services. And today's show is live, so I invite you to join in our discussion with your comments and questions by calling 781-3875. Again, that's 805-781-3875. And thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure. So let's, in the intro, we talked about how we're not actually unique here in San Luis County. The whole nation is aging, and we're going right along with that, although we're higher than some other counties. So in the services that you're seeing, what are you seeing in terms of the needs for this community that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. In San Luis Obispo, we are actually, our elder population is outpacing, as far as growth goes, some of the more traditional areas that are considered for retirement. So we are growing at a faster rate than other areas in the country. And I think we do have a bit of a unique population here, because you either have older adults moving to this area for retirement, and so they're leaving existing support systems and existing social networks to come here and retire, and so they're having to kind of start over and reestablish all of those support systems. Or you have people who maybe have lived here for a while, but their children have left the area, and yeah, so now they are left trying to meet their own care needs without the support of family necessarily. So we do have a bit of a unique population, and our county is so widespread that we do tend to see more cases of isolation and loneliness because of just some of the geographical restrictions that we have in our county.
Well, and also we have a transportation system, but we don't have, yes, the kind of transportation network that you see in some other cities that have an infrastructure like, say, the Bay Area or even the East Coast, yes, where cars aren't necessary and people don't necessarily have to retain a license anymore.
Absolutely.
What about for, you know, there's so much discussion right now with healthcare, and we're hearing things about Medicare, and we're hearing things about Medicaid, the federal.
There's a lot happening nationally.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly. And I think there are so many misunderstandings about Social Security, what that covers, who is entitled to that, when there's entitlement. Medicare, who's covered by that, what's covered by that. And there are a lot of gaps in services,
yes,
that
definitely
seniors run into. And I think you kind of alluded to that the circumstances of living here, it's not an inexpensive place to live.
Right, yes.
Right.
And
oh, gosh.
People who are on fixed incomes, mm-hmm, may find that what they could afford at one time, they can't afford as they age or outlive their, you read a lot about people outliving their retirement resources.
Right. Yeah, and if you're lucky enough to have Medicaid or Medi-Cal cover an appointment or services, then the next question is, how do I get there? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just about what is or isn't covered on a national level, but it's then even if you receive those services and you can get them at a cost that makes sense for you or your family, how do you get there? How do you get transportation there? Or, you know, just all of those particulars that people don't tend to think about. You think, oh, mom and dad are covered.
Yeah.
They're fine. But then, you know, what are all of the barriers that are keeping them from being healthy and happy and living at home?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So what do you frequently see that are services that your organization has created?
Transportation is definitely a huge issue. We do have a public transportation system, as you mentioned, but a lot of folks, as they age, they can't necessarily access those systems because they can't climb the steps to get onto a bus, or they need more support. So there's curb-to-curb transportation, which will pick them up at the curb but won't necessarily escort them into their medical appointment or their appointment. And so there was a gap identified that there was something that needed to be provided for those individuals who couldn't access traditional public transportation.
Right.
So through the help of an agency or a community called the Adult Services Policy Council, the Good Neighbor Program was thought of and created, and Wilshire Community Services manages that. And that is a group of volunteer drivers who provide door-through-door transportation, which means we pick individuals up at their home, we go to their door and help them to get from their door to the vehicle, and then once we arrive at their location, we help them get out of the car into their doctor's appointment or whatever they need to do that day, and then we support them back into the vehicle and back home. So it just provided that additional level of support that really did fill that gap. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we get a lot of requests for, people who need assistance with transportation. And again, especially in the remote areas of, you know, North County, South County, there are definitely people who need to get to appointments in San Luis Obispo, and they don't have any access to that transportation. So the Good Neighbor Program can do that sometimes.
Right.
And the other thing we see a lot are people struggling with loneliness. And you mentioned before about the medical costs that increase as we age.
Yeah.
And loneliness has been seen as one of the hugest factors that contribute to that. When people are lonely, their medical costs tend to go up. We tend to see them going to the hospital more. We also tend to see quicker cognitive decline. So loneliness is a major issue that we try to address in the industry of aging. And
describe causative decline. What do you mean by that?
Cognitive decline.
Oh, cognitive.
Yeah. So you might start seeing some increased confusion, some increased problems with concentrating, mm-hmm. because they're not getting that interaction that is so important as we age to keep things stimulated and working.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we start putting a lot of things together with the reporting that's been coming out, something that started hitting before all of the stuff that's going on right now about national health care was there was so much talk and publicity about the affordability of housing here.
Absolutely.
And so what we're seeing is a migration in of people that are more established, older, have the resources, if you will, the financial resources to move here. And what we're seeing is an out-migration of individuals who are younger, who want to do start-up homes, first-time homes, you know, because this is a less affordable place to do that.
Yeah.
And we're just seeing that anyway from California.
Yeah.
But what that does, like you mentioned, is it distances adult children from their parents,
yes,
making it more difficult for them to see what's happening.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to try and understand what's going on with your adult parents when you're trying to manage that with a telephone call from across the nation?
I think it's very challenging. I mean, we have a lot of people who are long-distance caregiving, so they're trying to stay on top of what's happening with their parents. They're trying to be as involved as possible, but they can't be here for the day-to-day stuff. And as individuals age and they start to lose more independence and require more support, that becomes even more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So at first, it might just be calling to check in with a parent and saying, hi, you know, I'm thinking about you, and helping them to avoid that loneliness piece that we talked about. But eventually it becomes they really need day-to-day support with getting to appointments, managing medications. And that's where I love our community of San Luis Obispo, because we actually do have some amazing organizations and services if people are aware of them. And so we do a lot with working with families to ensure that their parents or their grandparents' needs are being met. And as long as we have a release from the older adult to talk to the family, we can share what services we're providing and offer that level of peace that they're really looking for. Statistically, there actually are a lot of older adults still being cared for by family members, but I think in our area we do have a little bit of a unique situation where that doesn't happen quite as often.
Yeah. When you were mentioning the loneliness factor, talk about the programming that you have that addresses that.
So we have friendly visitors. We have volunteers who go into the homes of an older adult. And what I love about this program is when you get to a certain age, I feel like our conversations move from more general interest conversations to, did you eat? Have you taken your medication? When's the last time you went to the doctor? And maybe people have heard our stories over and over again. And so these volunteers are fresh ears and fresh eyes, and they're enthusiastic and excited, and they help people feel seen. Because I feel as we age, it can start to feel like we're invisible. Mm-hmm. And these people help our older adults in our community to remember you are important and you matter and your stories are amazing. That's what I love about the work I do. I feel like it's like watching a great movie every day, hearing some of these stories and the amazing things that people have experienced in their lives. So our volunteers are able to go in there and hear these stories and be engaged with them, as well as to share their experiences. So we had a Cal Poly student, actually, who wanted to learn Spanish, and we found a client who spoke Spanish, and so they were able to help one another. And mm-hmm. it was really an interesting thing. And we have college students who teach older adults different things that they're interested in, and so it becomes a very reciprocal relationship, and it truly is a friendship that develops over time.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned, you know, this idea of the kids leaving town of these parents, you know, obviously older adult kids at this point.
Right.
And what's really unique about the volunteer client program is that we are bridging generations together. Mm-hmm. And I've been out with clients and volunteers before where I've had a client say, I've always been social. And now we're all kind of landlocked. The best way I can put it is we're all landlocked, and I'm not used to that. I've always been a social butterfly. I've always had tea with my girls, and that's been a really big loss for me in my life. And having this Cal Poly student come over and really want to chat with me, mm-hmm. really, they've, you know, really created this relationship. And for the Cal Poly student, she said, you know, I really don't have a close relationship with my grandparents. They live in the East Coast. I mean, I love them dearly, but I don't get to see them every day. I don't have that traditional my grandparents down the road kind of relationship. And she's been able to foster that with this client. And it's reciprocal. You know, mm-hmm. not one person is receiving more than the other. They're both leaving that relationship saying, I feel fuller and richer because of that experience.
Yeah. Yeah, when you mention that, one of the things it reminds me of is when my mother had her stroke, it was apparent that she could no longer be living alone in her house.
Right.
So unfortunately, we needed to find a safe place for her. And independent living was kind of that in between.
Right.
And so we put her in an independent living apartment. And I went through as much as I could to set it up so that it was all put together and the pictures were up on the wall and she could just walk in and it looked like hers. And it, I knew it wasn't going to take, but it was as close as I could get because she wouldn't live with us.
Yeah.
So she wanted her own space. And living in an independent living with a bunch of other old people, for her, she called it a zoo. You know,
yeah.
She said, you know what it's like? It's like being a monkey in a zoo.
Oh.
Yeah. You're, you know, and so the idea that she could have younger people, other people she loved, when I would come and have dinner with her.
Right.
And she would have had me have dinner with her every night.
Well,
it was like, well, bring your husband.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
It would be like if any of us had to spend time with only ourselves all the time.
Right.
You know, we all crave diversity
variety.
And variety.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the spice of life, right? So to think that, you know, they wouldn't want a dynamic range of individuals to connect with, I mean, would be silly. I don't think any of us want that. So
exactly.
I appreciate that story.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it brings up another great point, too, that one of the most difficult times in older adults' life is making that transition from leaving their home and moving into some type of assisted living arrangement.
Yeah.
And that's when support is definitely important in order to prevent decline both emotionally and physically and cognitively. And that's when a caring caller or friendly visitor can be really helpful. Mm-hmm. And then we also offer the senior peer counseling program, which are peer individuals who go through a training and can go in and provide counseling. And that sometimes can really help that transition to be successful and to not be so dramatic for them or traumatic for them.
I want to talk a little bit more about that program in just a moment. If you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX supported radio for the Central Coast from Monterey to Ventura County. If you just joined us, today's show it is a discussion about something that's happening for more individuals in this country now than ever before. It's growing older and living longer. The challenges that come with it and how Wilshire Community Services is a local provider in bridging the gaps and services for seniors 55 and over, and how you can get involved. My guests are Tracy Mello, administrator of Wilshire Community Services and a licensed marriage and family therapist, and Kelly Donahue, public relations for Wilshire Health and Community Services. Your voice can be a part of today's discussion, and we'd love to have you join us. The show is live, and we're taking calls. We'd love to hear from you. So call us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. And Tracy, you had mentioned the peer counseling. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about how do you vet those people that are going to be doing the counseling? What is that like? Who are they? Are they counselors? You're a therapist. Are they therapists? Are they, you know, trying to do life-changing things? What is the training
happy to
for
talk
that?
About that. Yeah. So really the only requirement is that you be age 55 and up, and that's because it is a peer-based program. So
right.
We're looking for people who can have that peer relationship. You do not have to come from a background of mental health. We have people who were engineers, we're therapists or psychologists in another life, but any background is welcome. And then they go through a very intensive 72-hour training where we bring in professionals from the community who talk on all types of topics, mental health and aging, the body as we age. Of course, they go into counseling interventions, which is where they get some of that skill building. And then they have supervision once a week where they actually sit with a clinician for 2 hours and review their cases and get feedback and guidance along the way. And that is one of the most special parts of the program, because not only are the volunteers helping people in the community, but they also belong to a cohort and start to develop relationships and friendships. And the counselors have said over and over again, we get so much more out of it, they feel, than they put out. But I kind of disagree. I think they give a lot to the community, but it does become such a close-knit group, and they really value one another. So the counselors can help individuals with all sorts of topics, grief and loss issues, issues associated with the physical changes that sometimes come with aging. And then what happens is when an individual is referred to the program, a clinician goes out first to meet with them. And so they're really able to determine whether or not the issues could be addressed by a peer counselor or whether it's something that requires a more professional eye. And if it's something that does require a more professional eye, we have services available for that. And so we're looking at people who are experienced. We're looking to prevent decline in mental health.
Right.
And so it's really a preventative program. So we're looking at somebody who maybe just started to experience some symptoms of sadness or depression.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go out and address that. Or people who have lost a loved one and are dealing with that, the grief associated with that and the life changes that come with that. And they can go out and be a peer support to them.
Well, and when we're talking about changes in aging, I think we sometimes don't think in the perspective of, you know, even having someone tell you, you know what, your blood sugar is too high. You know, we're seeing now evidence of a type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that's a devastating thing.
Oh, yes.
Even though we say, you know, you can change your diet, you can do this. For that individual who's been healthy all the time, and yeah, they know they're not eating the way they should, and they're not exercising.
Right.
It's kind of like a sign for them that there's a decline.
Yes.
The body's changing. It's not a happy event. And it kind of begins to signify the beginning of an end.
Yeah, that's a great point. And when I say grief and loss, it's important to remember that that can be
capacity
ability. We had a client who used to ride her bike all over town.
Yes.
And she lost the ability to ride her bike. And for most people, it would be like, okay, so just do something else. But for her, it was a significant loss. And we were able to work on that in counseling with her because, it signified a decline in her physical ability, the beginning of the end, kind of fears started to come up. And
shift in identity.
Yeah. Let's take a call here from Ted. Ted, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a temporarily retired. I'm 71. I'm a temporary retired licensed marriage family therapist.
You're temporarily retired.
I'm temporarily because of illness and such, I couldn't keep up my...
Your practice?
The stuff that I needed, the classes I needed to take. So,
okay.
And I've had a loss. My wife died last year. I have some issues. The way you were just speaking about it makes getting older negative. Yes, there are negative things in getting older, but if you look at Eric Erickson's final statement about aging, it's wisdom versus defeat. And I think we should talk about the issues of okay, I have to deal, you know, so when you're younger, you don't think of old age, or if you do, it's in a kind of a different perspective through a different lens. When you get older, everything's right in your face all of a sudden. So some of the issues I've had to deal with, besides the loss of my wife, before that, all of the doctors I had were also got older and retired. So I had to get a whole bunch of new medical people. And they're younger. They don't understand aging. I think I have had peer counseling as well as done peer counseling. I think it's good. The problem is just dealing with old people are fine, except I need younger people too.
Yes.
We have to get more of a blend going.
Yes.
And anyway, those are some issues. I think you should think about reframing the things about loss that you were talking about. I think if you're dealing with an individual person and they're talking about loss, you empathize with them. If you're dealing with the public, it might be that these quote losses unquote should be reframed.
I think you bring up a really good point, and it's a balance
in terms of what is the wisdom that happens. Well, the wisdom, I have an overview of life that I didn't have when I was younger.
Exactly.
And how to develop that and let... Now, younger people don't always want to hear that.
And
my wisdom isn't always right. I'm not saying I have enough right one, except I know that humor helps.
Yeah.
I practiced psychodrama when I was doing therapy. And the thing I'm looking for is a counselor that could help me, that's a family therapist, because I have issues... I'm trying to help my kids. They're resistant to my help, and I need to talk to someone as a therapist that, okay, am I doing it wrong, or how could I appeal to them in ways that I think would help them? Like there's those family issues that come up.
So, Tad, so anyway, Tad?
It's kind of like I'm trying to maintain my functionality in the world. And they see it as, oh, you're getting in the way. Well, no, I'm trying to maintain my place.
Yeah.
So I'll let you go.
All right,
talk
Ted.
About all those issues. Those are a bunch
Thank you.
But, yeah.
So Ted makes a really good point, and that's really what the services that you provide are about. People can look at things from the perspective of when we were talking about loss and how people see aging.
Yeah, and I think
we perceive aging as losing something rather than appreciate what we've gained.
Yes.
So when you're talking about the peer counseling, it's an intervention in that, correct?
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I think it is a balance we're always trying to find, because one of the things we do when we go out and talk to the community is we fight those stereotypes about aging. And
well, they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. And yeah, we try to fight those. But then I realized, you know, by talking so strongly about the positives associated with aging or how we can stay healthy and active, we might be missing the people who really do need additional support. So it's right, really having to talk about both,
right,
the successes and the wisdom and the amazing things you can do as you age, and also the struggles that people face when
they
age.
Well, you want to make it okay for people to bring those things forward rather than having to put it underground.
Exactly.
You yes, definitely can't yes, take an if and or approach. I mean, you really have to acknowledge where someone is at, and then validate who they are as a human being. And I think oftentimes we think, you know, one or the other, and it's a balancing act between the two. And I think he, I don't know if Ted was listening earlier, but we were talking about, you know, pairing Cal Poly students with
right,
with clients, and that's just one of the ways that kind of balances the peer counseling program.
Right.
There are different services for different individuals based on where they're at in the aging process. And I don't think we ever think about it as a loss or a gain. We just think about meeting people where they're at.
Right, and what they need.
And what they need. And mm-hmm, that is going to look different from client to client.
Right.
And so for one person, they may need a peer counselor who can relate to them and where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And another person may not need that peer counselor, but they may want a friendly visit with someone who's outside of their generation, mm-hmm, so they can share in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And neither are right or wrong. It's just about meeting that person's needs.
Is it, and you move patient or clients between services.
Oh, definitely. Or they can have one at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can have both a friendly visitor and a peer counselor, depending on what's happening.
Talk a little bit about the transportation service that you've got for volunteers who might be interested in assisting with that. What is required for them to qualify for that?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I really love about our volunteer opportunities at Wilshire Community Services is we have almost every level of engagement. So if you are looking to give, you know, 4 to 6 hours a week, then that could be senior peer counseling. With the Good Neighbor program and our transportation, an hour a week, an hour every other week is a huge help. And you might think that's not enough, but that could be taking somebody to a very important doctor's appointment. And so an hour a week, an hour every other week is really the minimum requirement to be a good neighbor. Anybody can volunteer to do transportation. You do have to be 25 or older, but we have some other services available for volunteers who are younger. And there is a training involved, so you meet with our volunteer coordinator and go through a training, and there's an application process that includes a criminal background check and a DMV check, and then you are ready to go. And we try to assign volunteers to services in the area where they live, so they can designate, I only want to provide services in South County.
Right.
And so we try to make it very convenient and easy for people to volunteer.
Talk a little bit about the benefits to the volunteer. Because it's not only serving another individual. I mean, one of the things that Vital Signs, which is the report that we frequently reference with this show, mm-hmm, does demonstrate is that volunteerism in this county, through the survey, is relatively high. People, right, whether it's for a little league or a PTA or yeah, scouting,
yeah,
or it's with their, you know, their faith, or it's, you know, with a neighbor. So talk about some of the benefits of that too.
I was just reading some research on volunteering as a family, and the benefits to the family unit as a whole, and then the benefits to the children as they get mm-hmm, older. So, I mean, obviously this I think applies to all volunteers. There's this being part of the community, feeling fulfilled, you know, natural endorphins that come from,
right,
you know, being engaged in serving others. But for our youth, it means they tend to have better grades. It means they tend to be more involved in the community when they get older. They tend to have altruistic qualities about them because you are introducing them to a part of life that they otherwise may never experience.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that when they're young really shapes their worldview and their perspective, their values. And I thought, gosh, that's incredible. You know, a lot of people go, I don't want to volunteer by myself. That sounds a little scary. But you can volunteer with a friend. You can volunteer as a family. And the impact is tenfold. I mean, you really can raise the next generation of altruistic individuals just by taking your kiddos with you when you drive someone to their doctor's appointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, and leading by example. I mean, as parents, when we lead by example, I'm not a parent, so I'm speaking kind of colloquially, but leading by example means that we are going to be raising a generation of individuals who will do that as well. So I think the benefits as a family unit, as an individual, are powerful, and we don't always think of that when we think of our summer vacation plans. We think, oh, we're going to go to Lake Tahoe and go rafting, and I think that's absolutely wonderful, but you can also do something right here in your backyard that right. is just as powerful as
right.
a family.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I am a parent, and I did raise a daughter that I dragged because I worked nonprofit mm-hmm. so much. I dragged her to every event and every volunteer thing that I did.
Like a good parent in the nonprofit world.
Like the good mom I was, darn it. And, you know, she's turned out to be somebody who has always been a part of her community and volunteered and has always been able to take back from that. And I've talked with other parents, and I've seen that with other parents, too. So there really is something about modeling, modeling that.
Yeah. I loved a story. One of our good neighbor volunteers, who is also a Cal Poly student, he shared that he eventually would like to be a doctor. And so he volunteered with the Good Neighbor Program and was providing rides to older adult clients to their doctor's appointments. And he was able to see how the physicians interacted with our older adult clients. And he said he learned some things that he would do differently as a physician. And he was really able to learn effective communication techniques and how to relate intergenerationally. And so he said it was just such an important experience for him that he wouldn't have been able to get anywhere else. And he feels more prepared now as he goes towards medical school.
Right.
So it's benefits that maybe you don't even think of automatically, but hearing the stories, it's really, really good.
Yeah, I saw the same thing with Candy Striper programs, kids that would get involved in health careers. And they actually would be schooled by some of the individuals that were patients, you know, in what not to do and how to, you know, didn't necessarily like the schooling. they did get schooled. Yeah. You're listening to KCBX, your public radio station at 90.1 FM, San Luis Obispo, 91.7 FM, Salinas de Paso Robles, and 89.5 FM, Santa Barbara, and on the web at kcbx.org. According to California Department of Aging, California is projected to be one of the fastest growing states in the nation in total population. In 1990, California comprised 12% of the nation's population and is expected to have 14% of the nation's population by 2020. That's an increase of 15.7 million people. In California, the elderly population is expected to grow more than twice as fast as the total population. In Slo County, a 100% increase in the number of residents 60 and older is projected to have taken place from 1990 to 2020, and 149% increase is projected over the same period of time for the population aged 85 and older. No matter how young at heart we feel, there are also some realities and changes for the needs of support for individuals as we age. And today's show is about one local provider and the services that they offer for aging in a life that's comfortable and enriching. Tracy Mello, administrator of Wilshire Community Services and licensed marriage and family therapist, and Kelly Donahue, public relations for Wilshire Health and Community Services. Our phone lines are open, and we invite you to join us today. You can call in and make your comments like Tad did by calling us at 805-781-3875. Again, that's 781-3875. So once, so for people who want to drive, they need to have a driver's license, obviously.
Yes.
Need to have insurance.
Yes. We provide additional insurance, but you do have to have your own insurance as well.
Okay.
Yes.
They're driving their own car?
Driving their own vehicle.
Their own vehicle. Okay.
Yep.
And they can decide how many people they want to escort.
Yeah. We actually have a great system. And so you would get an email three times a week, and it basically lists all the people who need a ride. And so you're able to say, oh my gosh, that person lives right down the street from me. I can do that and easily. And you're able to select who you would like to serve and what's convenient for you to do and what's enjoyable for you to do.
Well, and I would think, you know, if you're going to the grocery store,
yes,
you know, and you Maybe you want to take somebody with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really easily can fit into your life as it exists already. I mean, you even an hour friendly visit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you may be already on your way. You know, I work in SLO and I live in South County. I might already be on my way home, and a friendly visit, I mean, no different than, you know, hanging out with a coworker for an hour after work, except this is way more meaningful. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
I definitely think there's something to be said for a volunteer opportunity that can really fit into your life as it exists, and yet it's so meaningful on the other end.
Mm-hmm. The idea, you know, having you know, once people have had the opportunity to drive their car, and we really depend very heavily on automobiles, depending on where we live in this county. I think here in San Luis Obispo, in the downtown area, where people are used to walking more to get to places, but even in the downtown area, there aren't that many grocery stores.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're schlepping stuff from the grocery store, it's not really easy. But if we cannot drive, perhaps we've got a medical condition that prevents us from being able to drive, or we're incapacitated in some way, we break a leg, or it makes it really tough. Sometimes just calling Uber isn't a choice.
Right.
And there are some people that can't facilitate that.
Right.
You know, it's just not in the... It's not in the processes. Yeah.
And people often recommend Uber, but it's also important to remember the people we're serving are on a fixed income. And even though Uber is affordable for our clients, sometimes $5, $1 is asking a lot.
It's a lot.
It's expecting that they have a smartphone, they can operate a smartphone, and they can handle the costs of a smartphone. So it's all these barriers before you even click, yes, I'd like my Uber driver to come.
Right.
And so it tends to not be a very pragmatic approach. And I think if anyone thinks of, you know, an older adult in their life and they can relate to that older adult's, you know, strengths and possible drawbacks, they can say, yeah, actually, I could probably say my grandpa could not use Uber.
Right.
And we're really grateful.
And that doesn't mean that your grandpa is dumb or any of those things.
He's actually phenomenally smart, but in completely different areas.
It's a different era.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just recognizing that what we find to be simple and effective may not always serve that particular population.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And cabs are not necessarily available.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you're trying to get from North County and your medical provider is here in San Luis Obispo, what are you going to do? Are you going to have a cab wait for you?
No.
So then you wait for it again.
And what's so beautiful about our services is that even if you're a driver, those drivers build relationships with the clients. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes this comfortable relationship.
Right.
Imagine the anxiety you feel every time you go to the doctor, even if it's just a checkup. And now imagine having to ride in a cab with a stranger while you have all this anxiety and nervousness going on. And so our volunteers provide a relationship. It's not just getting from point A to point B.
Right.
It's a relationship. It's a connection. Again, it addresses that issue of loneliness, and it really helps people feel comfortable and empowered and maintains independence, which is what we're really trying to do through our programs.
Well, let's hear from Jackie. Jackie, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Hi. I just have a question with respect to future transportation, and that is if any of these programs contemplate the use of the driverless car in the future. Obviously, it's not there yet, but it seems to be approaching rather quickly. So I'm just wondering if that fits into any concepts of being helpful to us older folks as suddenly we can drive.
I don't know much about that.
I've heard of the Tesla driverless vehicles. Which
nobody can afford it.
Right. And that's kind of my next thought is even if those existed, just like Uber exists, they may be cost ineffective and another barrier. So I'm sure there will be a select portion of this population who can afford that. And, you know, congratulations. I can't do that. But at the same time, I think that it probably isn't going to be something that addresses this particular issue as a whole. I think we have to look at where people are falling through the gaps, and we need to look at that big picture, and I think it would probably only serve a very small group of people.
Doesn't it seem like it would be useful to have neighborhood area shuttles and things like that? I mean, obviously our public transportation basically in this country is non-existent. So if there were more neighborhood-oriented things where mm-hmm. people could actually get on the object, and the object went into, you know, Santa Maria or went into Arroyo or whatever, plus perhaps having people at the other end who help the person in their interaction, especially in the big clinics or the hospital, you know, where there's lots of people, and you don't need one dedicated. The problem with one dedicated helper to everyone who needs help is, guess what? You know, it doesn't work. So, I mean, otherwise, we need to do it in groups, right? We need bunches.
I think you're highlighting something that a lot of people have been noticing in the last couple of decades, which is we've lost that village feel. We've lost that village culture that we had back in the 40s and the 50s and 60s. It was, you know, we were a village and we helped each other, and now we're spread out. And I think you're, you know, one of many people who are saying, let's throw some things at the wall and see what sticks, what can work. And I appreciate your insight on that, because you are highlighting that we aren't much of a neighborhood anymore like we used to. And I think that's what these services are trying to do, is bring us back, you know, to our community, know our neighbors. You know, if you get that email list and you see that Joe down the street needs a ride, you don't know Joe. Maybe you've seen him walk his dog before, but you don't know him and you haven't engaged him. You don't know that he needs to get to his doctor's appointment. I think we're trying to bridge people in our communities again, the best way we know how. And it takes a village, you know, to come up with ideas as to how to do that.
It is. It does, but there's an enormous number of people who don't have email, don't have computers, don't have cell phones, don't know how to work any of them, don't want to learn how to work any of them, and who can blame them? Because it's complicated, and it's just something new, and all this, even if they have all their wits. Mm-hmm. So you're going, there doesn't seem, I mean, I understand what you're saying, trying to promote the, you know, the neighborhood things, but there's no, in my knowledge, there's no specific sponsored, whether they're benefits or government or state or local or whatever, programs that are aimed to build, let's say, God forbid I should use the word charter, a charter-type community area, and use that as an example.
No, I think that in this community there isn't. That would be something great for you to start looking at, Jackie.
No, I'm not going to start it. I'm one of the old people who need it.
No. There actually is.
I'm familiar with this. I took care of my mother for over a decade, 24/7, and what it means is you've exchanged your life for theirs.
Yes.
And
sometimes it does mean that.
How is that a solution? It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, Jackie, one of the things that you're pointing out is that there are challenges with the infrastructure and services like the services that we're talking about today. These are some of the services that are available in the community. There are a number of services in the community that are available to not only seniors, certainly seniors, but individuals of all ages that they can access for support. Things like people movers that you're talking about that get people from destination A to B.
Right.
You know, those are great ideas. I mean, I still live with a fantasy of the Jetsons, you know.
Yeah.
That was always my idea of the perfect world. And I think in this kind of in our world right now, what we're having to do is find people resources, which is what Wilshire here is talking about today.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
I just.
But you bring up a good point. It would be great to do something bigger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, the idea of, because some of the NGOs do it, they do it overseas, they do mm-hmm. it, they take it and they have a project and it becomes, mm-hmm. If it fails, obviously you don't ever talk about it again. But if it's successful, that can be propagated all over the place. And, And it wouldn't, you'd think, if you were careful with your design, it wouldn't be all that hard to be successful.
Well, thank you for bringing this up, Jackie.
Anyway, I'm just babbling here, but, you know, we all have hopes.
I know. Yeah, for sure. Good hoping, Jackie. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
So Jackie brings up a great point. There is certainly a bigger vision for all of this, and there are countries, you know, that have tackled things on a much broader scale. We're not there for this community yet, although you're speaking of village, and there are attempts locally of creating more village, and the fact that you're using the word neighbor in the name of one of your programs, you know, and that's what you're trying to do is establish a neighbor.
Yeah, and I think San Luis Obispo is a small community, but we're very innovative, and the agencies that we have here work very collaboratively because we really are focused on the goal of helping aging to be safer and more enjoyable here in our community. And so we do really work very closely together. And there are various different types of transportations, from the city bus to the ride-on transportation services. But again, the Good Neighbor Program fills that gap for people who can't access those resources because of physical or cognitive short disabilities.
Now, do you have the ability, if someone needs to, if they have a motorized wheelchair, do you have people that can transport them?
Typically not the motorized wheelchairs. If they're able to have a wheelchair that folds, we let the volunteer know that's a requirement, and that way they know they're going to have to lift that much weight.
Okay.
But they do have to be able to independently transfer from the wheelchair to the vehicle.
That was my next question.
Yeah, we don't provide any hands-on
you
care.
You don't
other
do
than,
any transferring
you know,
assistance.
A hand of support maybe, but
Okay. That was one of my questions too. And you know, just if people have needs of more assistance, do you refer them when they call and you can't provide services, you refer them to other agencies that can provide those services?
Definitely, yes.
Okay.
You will never call us and hear a no and have a good day. We are problem solvers inherently. We care about the people that call us and have an issue. And if we can't serve that person in that way, we want to help them get to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not a pass off. It's more of like, let's get together and put our heads together and figure out who might be the best resource for them in the community. So if we can't do it, we're going to help you hopefully find someone who can.
Yeah. Transportation for seniors is a huge issue. And for depending on what stage they are in their ability, I'm trying to read this, how to mobilize older people politically to oppose forces. And that's from Ted. So Ted called back in and said, how to mobilize older people politically to oppose forces. Well, that's a really good point because that comes up with what Jackie was saying too. Mm-hmm. She has some ideas. Ted had some ideas. How do you do that? You meet with seniors, you talk with them, you have an active group of seniors in your 55 plus people. How engaged are they in the community in trying to facilitate some of these changes?
That's a great question. I think our older adult volunteers who get a pretty wide view of the issues that face older adults, they're very outspoken and they're strong advocates in the community. So, you know, writing letters to the editor, talking to county supervisors, looking for opportunities to have your voice heard, whether that's an open meeting somewhere that you can attend, or actively writing your congressmen and people who are in political positions, being involved in an advocate that way.
And the Commission on Aging
locally, thank you. Great point.
The Commission on Aging locally is also becoming much more active. They've been very active. But I think with all the things that are coming down the pike on healthcare, between them and the Area Agency on Aging locally are becoming much more outspoken.
And if it's a cause that's close to your heart, looking for a way to get involved. If you don't have the time to volunteer or the capacity to volunteer, maybe look at donating to a cause that is really close to your heart, or you know, just being an advocate for the causes that you believe in and making sure that you're letting your voice be heard to anyone who's willing to listen.
And how about one that you're never too old?
You're never too old to get
involved.
Yes.
And what's uniquely kind of a positive is that you know, I work with some of the under 40 in the area on how to leverage their voice, and they're not used to the traditional ways of engagement. So they have a little bit of a leveraging point as far as having been a part of the community for a long time, understanding how government or politics work, a good old-fashioned letter. I mean, gosh, I don't know anyone that does that anymore.
Right.
That goes really far. It goes further than people think. And so they do have an advantage of understanding those traditional ways of having your voice heard. Those are still incredibly effective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to teach that to people under 40, right? And yet they still have that voice, and they can do that from their home.
Right.
And they know how to put, you know, they still have stamps and letters and pens. And that is incredible. And I think people feel like, you know, there's just one voice in a sea. But actually, you know, all those voices together can be incredibly powerful.
Well,
so
here's one. How about using the smartphone to make a phone call?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And call your congressman.
Right, or call. Right? Absolutely. A letter, a phone call, you know. I think those are all still incredibly effective. I think our government is actually
calling and saying, you know, I want you to hear, this is my opinion.
Right.
Something makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. So I think we can't forget that those voices are powerful, and they understand those systems incredibly. Mm-hmm.
I heard an interview actually on NPR, and I don't know what show it was, but they were talking with a woman who had been really using her voice and protesting, and I think she was 91 years old. And so they asked her how long she had been a vocal, you know, vocally expressing.
Mm-hmm.
Her opinions, and she said not long enough.
Oh, wow.
You know,
oh, wow.
And I just loved that.
Yeah. It's an exciting time for aging services, because as the baby boomers are aging, they are going to demand more quality services, and we're going to see more voices being heard for services for aging.
Okay, so we got take a call here. Is that
Hyla?
Is that, are you there?
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Hyla.
How are those nice ladies from Wilshire?
Hello.
Hello.
I had a recent and have had a recent medical situation. I've had the nurses that come from Wilshire. I've had, you know, maybe 10 or 15 visits. I can't remember. And they were all nice, and they were all very good. And I just wanted to make that point. It has nothing to do with the aging issue, but I think that Wilshire's good to have for any of that.
Well, thank you so much. That's so nice to hear.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hyla.
You know, I think Hyla brings up a great point, is that if you're familiar with the name Wilshire in the community, you probably hear it a lot of different ways. We have Wilshire Hospice. We have Wilshire Home Health. We have our community-based services, which is what we're talking about here today. And the hope is that no matter what, we're here for you in whatever life circumstance that you have, whether it is hospice or home health or community-based services. And we want to be we love phone calls like that, you know, just as much as we love being out in the community and someone saying, my good neighbor volunteer is phenomenal. We're going to work well together to make sure that we can be there for people. And not just that, but we work with other nonprofits, like you were mentioning before.
Mm-hmm.
This community is fantastic at collaboration.
Yes.
So not only do we have multiple agencies within Wilshire who kind of work together collaboratively, but gosh, we see it tenfold with nonprofits in the community. We're not competitive. It's all collaborative. It's such a beautiful thing. So I appreciate her calling in and saying that.
That's great.
So I want to make sure that if people are interested in finding out about volunteering, because you're looking for volunteers, I think.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Right?
Yes.
How would they get involved in what do they do if they want to check out, is this right for me?
You can definitely give us a call, and I will give you that phone number now. The general phone number is 547-7025. That's 547-7025. And then to reach our volunteer coordinator, Jamie, that's extension 20. So 547-7025, extension 20.
And then you mentioned in one case, 25 and older for driving.
Yes.
55 and older for peer counseling.
Correct, yes.
And then you mentioned also that you've got Cal Poly students. So do you have some volunteer opportunities for people under the age of 25?
Definitely. For our friendly visitor program, which goes by Caring Callers, that's a volunteer who goes in and provides a friendly visit. Those volunteers can be 18 and up. They can even be under 18 with a parental supervision. So as Kelly was mentioning, a great opportunity for families to get out and do something together. And then under the Good Neighbor Program umbrella, we also provide services like shopping and errands, where you don't necessarily take an older adult in your car, but you go do the grocery shopping for them. And those volunteers can be 18 and under. And we just started a pet assistance program for those clients who need assistance walking a dog or taking an animal to the veterinarian. We recognize how important those pet relationships are, and we want to support those. So those volunteers can also be 18 and up to help with the pets.
Okay. Yeah. And we have about 2 minutes left. So any quick final words?
Well, if you are one of those people who doesn't know how to use the smartphone to make a phone call, you can certainly follow us on Facebook. We have Wilshire Community Services on Facebook. And we also have our website, WilshireCommunityServices.org. You know, don't let the phone be an inhibitor to finding out more and to engaging with us. We would like to hear from you in any way that you feel comfortable.
Do you have on your website, can people put in an application on the website?
I think they can print the application. Right?
Yes, they can print the application currently, and we're actually redoing our websites right now. So they're going to be even more user-friendly in the future. So
okay.
Something to look forward to.
Okay. Again, the phone number, if people want to call in either for services or
yes,
to volunteer.
The general phone number is 547-7025, and that will get you to a live person.
Okay. And next week on this show, your host is going to be Fred Monroe. He's going to be speaking with Todd Nelson, Executive Director of Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, Haley Pavone, who is the founder of Passion Footwear, and Matt Maxwell, the founder and CEO of Boltabout, as they discuss the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship and helping launch the next generation of innovators and entrepreneurial leaders. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Tracy Mello, Administrator of Wilshire Community Services and Licensed Marriage and Family Therapist, and Kelly Donahue, Public Relations for Wilshire Health and Community Services. We always appreciate your suggestions for future shows. If you have a topic you'd like to suggest, please send it to us at voices@kcbx.org. Thank you for Ted, and also thank you to Jackie for calling in today and for making their suggestions. Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX and made possible through underwriting by Joan Gellert Sargent. I'm Chris Kington Barker, and thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices.